Amen. That was good singing today. Good selection of songs as well. And I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place. And we ask the Lord to continue to manifest Himself even in this hour as we open up God's Word. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we continue on with the parables of Jesus, and we're going to consider Jesus as the Good Shepherd. That is the title of the message this morning, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I want us to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 16, and we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word, the preaching this morning, that God would accomplish His purpose in every heart. And so let's begin in verse 1. Verily, verily, that word verily means truly. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd open the Word of God to us today. And Father, as we seek to explore and understand the truths that are contained herein, Father, I pray that you'd make application in every heart through your Holy Spirit. And Father, that your will would be done and accomplished in each life today. We pray, Lord, that you'd make yourself known among us here. In Jesus' name, amen. There were two men who were called on in a large classroom to recite the 23rd Psalm. And one of the men was a published orator. He was trained in speech, and he was trained in technique, and he was trained in drama. And he repeated the psalm in a very powerful way. When he finished, the audience that was there hearing him speak, they stood and they cheered and they clapped their hands and even asked for an encore that they might hear his wonderful voice again. Then, the other man, who was much older, he repeated the very same words. And he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he finished reciting the 23rd Psalm. But when he finished, there was not a sound in the room. It was a very large class, but there wasn't a noise to be heard. Instead, people just sat in a deep mood of devotion and prayer. Then the first man, who was the orator, he stood to his feet and he said, "I have a confession to make," he said. "The difference between what you have just heard from my old friend and what you've heard from me is this. I know that psalm, but my friend really knows the shepherd." as Jesus delivered this parable of the Good Shepherd, it comes on the heels of him healing the man that was born blind in John chapter 9. And if you look at the whole chapter of John chapter 9, Jesus performs this miracle and he causes this man to see who was born blind. And instead of rejoicing and instead of praising God for this miracle that was done, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day, all they did was question him. How did he do this? What did he do to you? And if you remember, he said, look, I don't even know. All I know is that he healed me. All I know is that I can see. And he says, and he said, why are you so upset about it? Would you be his disciple also? Remember that in John chapter 9? You remember what their response to that was? Verse 26. Then said they, of chapter 9, then said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. For we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. That was their response. Instead of praising and rejoicing and giving praise to God for what was done. That's the context in which this parable is given of the Good Shepherd. They didn't care for this man. They didn't care for his well-being. They didn't care anything about him. They were actually hirelings. They were thieves. They were robbers. And Jesus gives this parable, and he clearly states his identity as the Son of God, as the Good Shepherd. He clearly states what his plan and his purpose was in coming into this world, and he sets himself in contrast to these Pharisees, these religious leaders of the day. Look at verse 39 of chapter 9. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. The pride of their heart caused them to remain in sin. And you see how Jesus then starts to give this parable, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth into the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And then verse 6 says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake. And so he explains it. Here, I'll show you what I mean. I'm the door. I'm the shepherd. And he says, if in verse 9, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then he says what a hireling does. He runs when trouble comes. You see how he sets himself in contrast to these religious leaders of the day? And stating who he is and what his purpose is and how he cares for the sheep. And in these verses of our text here, we actually can see the heart of Jesus on display. And here he reveals his great love for sinners, and he reveals his plan for dealing with sin, as opposed to those Pharisees who were nothing more than hirelings, who were only looking out for themselves. And so this is where we're going to go this morning. In this message, but as I bring the message this morning, I want you to ask yourself these questions, all right? Focus in, all right? Everybody pay attention. This is the test. Ask yourself the question, in all seriousness, Do I really know the shepherd? Does he really know me? And then thirdly, am I really following his voice? My prayer for you this morning is that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you will today. My prayer also is that if you do know the Lord, and you're a child of God, that you're really truly following and obeying his voice. These verses here teach us that Jesus possesses some qualities that qualify him to be called the Good Shepherd. And I want to walk through these verses and discover Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The first thing I want to point out to you this morning is in verses 1 through 9, we find that Jesus possesses the right credentials. Jesus possesses the right credentials to be the Good Shepherd. Well, what credentials are those? Well, first of all, we find in verses 1 through 3 that he came the right way. He came in the right way. Verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Jesus uses the imagery of a sheepfold here to illustrate some truth concerning himself. Now, a typical sheepfold in those days would have been a circular enclosure. Often, the walls of that enclosure, of that circular sheepfold, would have been roughly maybe around 10 feet high. And there was only one very small, narrow opening to that enclosure, which was the door. And it wasn't a door like you and I know a door to be, you know, that has hinges and you open it up and you walk through. That's not really what it was. All it was simply a very narrow opening. There's only one way in and one way out, and it was just a narrow opening. The shepherd who was to keep the sheep, and that sheepfold was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge, and the sheep would be put into the fold at nighttime for protection from the predators, from the wolves, and so on. And they would all, and maybe more than one flock would be put into the same sheepfold, that place of protection. And there's only one narrow opening, only one way in, one way out. And the shepherd himself would lie in that opening, and there was no possible way to go in or to go out unless you went through the shepherd. The shepherd himself became the door of that sheepfold. And Jesus uses this illustration to relate some truth concerning himself. Several flocks might be placed into that sheepfold at night, but the shepherd lying in that opening was serving as the door, and nothing could go in and nothing could go out without having to go through the shepherd. And Jesus is telling his audience here that only thieves and only robbers seek to enter the sheepfold by another way besides the door. The shepherd, however, always comes in the right way. Jesus proves that he is the Good Shepherd of the sheep because he came into this world in the right manner. He entered according to God's plan. If we had the time, we could walk through the prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Bible says that he would be born of a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7. If we read in Matthew chapter 1, we would find that Jesus had a virgin birth. The prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Savior, were that he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, verse 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 show us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Prophecies concerning the Savior would be that he would be brought out of Egypt, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Look over in Matthew chapter 2 with me very quickly. Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Matthew 2 In verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. His arrival would provoke the rage of the enemy, according to Jeremiah chapter 31. Look at Matthew 2 here, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And we find here over and over again, and if we had the time, we'd look at all the prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world according to God's plan. He was the right person. He possessed all the right credentials necessary to prove that he was the good shepherd. But not only is he the shepherd, but being the shepherd also makes him the door into the sheepfold. Go back to John chapter 10 there. John 10 and verse 7 says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Listen, if you'll remember, there was only one opening that was going into that sheepfold. And it was in this opening that the shepherd would lay. Therefore, the shepherd himself became the door of the sheep. And nothing could enter the fold, nothing could exit the fold without going through the shepherd first himself. And this illustrates for us that there is only one way into the safety of the sheepfold. That sheepfold is salvation in Jesus Christ. There's only one way into that place of safety, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at Romans chapter 5 with me, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Now note this here. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Note this word peace and note the word access into. Here, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Why is that necessary? Why is that important? We're sinners. We violated God's law. We're offensive to God. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. The debt of sin that we could never repay. And God is of purer eyes that He can't even look on our sin. And it's not just a little white lie. It's offensive to God because He's holy and righteous. Listen, we need to have peace with God because our sin causes us to fall under the condemnation and the wrath of God. We're enemies with God. Except through Jesus Christ can we have peace with God. But note here, verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now we're talking about the sheepfold. We're talking about the shepherd as the door into the sheepfold. The sheepfold was a place of safety. It was a place of refuge. Listen, outside of the sheepfold, spiritually speaking, we're under the wrath of God. We deserve the condemnation and the judgment and the wrath of God upon us. We need to get into that place of safety and have access into that place of safety, but it's only through Jesus Christ. We can have peace, and we can have safety from the wrath of God on our sin, but only through Jesus Christ. It's not in any other thing. And if anyone desires entrance into that fold of God, there's only one door. Any other way, that only leads to condemnation, and it leads to death. Look at Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You know what? Salvation is restrictive, in that there's only one way, and there's only one door, and only one way into that place of safety, and it's through Jesus Christ. You know what? It's a wonderful thing to be eternally saved. It's a wonderful thing to be free from the fear of dying, to be free from the fear of dying lost and ending up in eternal torment in the lake of fire. I'm grateful for salvation that I have in Jesus Christ. But it only comes, that place of safety, that place of freedom from fear, only comes through the door, which is Jesus Christ. He proves that he is the good shepherd. He's got the right credentials. He came in the right way, according to the plan of God and the will of God. But secondly, in verses 3 to 5, we're still talking about the credentials. Go back to John chapter 10 there. We find that not only did he come properly, but also he calls properly. In John chapter 10, in verse 3, the second half of verse 3, down to verse 5, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Here we find that the shepherd calls properly. You know, there may be several flocks inside of one sheepfold in those days. Many different flocks and different owners, they would put their sheep together in one sheepfold for the protection and for the safety at nighttime. And so they might be sharing the same sheepfold overnight. However, when the shepherd of those sheep walks up to the door of that sheepfold and calls his sheep, they instantly recognize his voice and they respond to him because he owns them. They don't listen to the voice of a stranger. They don't know the voice of a stranger, but they know the voice of their master, of their shepherd. Now, this isn't a great illustration because my dogs are stupid, but this one thing is true. They know my voice, and they know my whistle. It's distinctive. And many times, not always, but many times, they'll be down the road or something like that, and I'll go outside, and I'll whistle for them. And I'll whistle a couple of times, and all of a sudden, boom, they come running down the road. You can hear their, you know, their tags jingling and so on. And they come running to that sound because they know it's mine, and I'm their master. Now, like I said, it's not a great illustration because it's not always true. They're kind of dumb. But here, this is true about the shepherd. He might walk in up to the door of that sheepfold and he would call his sheep and those sheep would instantly respond to his voice, but not to a different one. There was a man in Australia who was arrested and he was charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own that had been missing for many days. Well, the case went to court. And when the case went to court, the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide the matter. At last, he asked that the sheep be brought into the courtroom. And then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call the animal. The sheep made no response to his call, except to raise his head and look bewildered. The judge then instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and to call the sheep. And when the accused man began to make his very distinctive call, the sheep bounded toward the door. It was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master. And the judge said, "His sheep knows him." Case dismissed. There's two applications here. This is true when it comes, listen, when it comes to on a spiritual sense, on a spiritual level for human beings. This is true for someone who is not saved. There's a lot of voices that compete for attention in this world, but there's only one voice, and there's a special note to the voice of the Lord when He begins to call a lost soul. Listen, nothing else makes sense to a weary soul. Religion, it's vain, it's empty, it's full of emptiness, but there's a special ring when the gospel goes forth to an empty heart and an empty soul, and there's a ring of truth about it that says, "That's right." Religion, it's vanity, it's empty. That's why people can walk in, you know, to church services on their Saturday or on their Sunday or whenever that is, and they can walk in empty and they can walk out feeling exactly the same way. Except for, well, I did my religious duty today and I've propped myself up for another week. But listen, when they come under the sound of the gospel and they're confronted with their sin, they're confronted with the judgment of God, they're confronted with the fact that they've offended God, but there's a way of safety. Listen, there's a ring of truth about it that they cannot deny. Because it's the voice of the Lord. There's only one that sounds right to a desperate soul. But there's another application here, because verse 4 says this. Look at it. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Here's an application for the true sheep. Listen, when the shepherd calls forth his sheep, he goes before them and they instinctively follow him. He does not have to drive them. That's for the goats. He just leads them out and they follow close behind. What a truth this is. Listen, when somebody is truly saved by the grace of God, they're going to have a desire instinctively to follow the good shepherd. When a person is saved by the grace of God and they're right with God, you know what? You don't have to beg them to come to church. You don't have to beg them to tithe. And by the way, if you are not tithing, you are disobedient to God. You are not following your shepherd. But you don't have to tell somebody. You don't have to beg somebody to give and to tithe and to come to church. You don't have to beg somebody to share their faith in Jesus Christ if they're truly saved. Why? Because they instinctively want to follow their shepherd. They know his voice. And he leads them out. Follow close behind. That's for the true sheep. So what's the application? You know what it is. There's somebody who you got to beg them to come to church. "Hey, how come you're not in church, man?" They never tithe. "Oh, but every now and then, maybe." Never share their faith. Don't seem to have the joy for that shepherd. Maybe it's because they're not really true sheep. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You don't have to beg someone who's a true sheep to worship God. You don't have to beg someone who's a true sheep to live a separated life. They're going to want to come out from among them and be separate. Separate from the world and unto God. They've been called out by their shepherd, and they have a burning burden inside to follow him. Why? Because they belong to him. See that? He calls properly. There's something about his voice that the true sheep know and they'll follow. I want you to look secondly and lastly this morning, verses 10 through 14. We find that not only does the shepherd, does Jesus, possess the right credentials, but he also possesses the right character. The right character to be the good shepherd. Verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." Here he possesses the right character. The thief that we see in verse 10 is a threat to the sheep. When a thief enters the fold, his primary purpose is simply to use the sheep for his own personal gain. He doesn't care about their welfare. He doesn't care about their safety. The good shepherd, however, would give his very life for the sheep to protect them and to care for them. You see, he possesses the right character. His character is proven by his sacrifice. Verse 11 says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." His character is proven by his sacrifice. He giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus explains here the difference between the shepherd and the hireling. The hireling is there just for the paycheck. When trouble comes, the hireling runs away and leaves the sheep to be devoured by wolves. Listen, this is something that just bothers me to no end. When there's a pastor of a church and he's there for a while and he finds, you know, another opportunity and they call and he says, "Oh, well, God's calling me and I'm just going to up and move," and he's going to go take another church, and he leaves that flock without a shepherd. He's not a true shepherd. He's an hireling. If God's really called a man to oversee the flock, he's not going to leave them unprotected. He's not going to leave them without safety. He's not going to leave them without care, because he loves the sheep. And he'll sacrifice and he'll give his very life for them. Pastor's not approachable. Never has time for the sheep because he's too busy with his own life and his own plans. He's not a true shepherd. He doesn't have a heart of a shepherd. Because the real shepherd is going to give his very life, his time, his energy, his whatever. He's going to give it to the sheep because he cares for their safety and their well-being. A hireling, trouble comes, he runs away. He leaves the sheep to be devoured by the wolves. But the shepherd, on the other hand, he owns the sheep and loves the sheep. Therefore, the good shepherd, which is Christ, is willing to pay any price to protect the sheep, even if it means that he's got to give his very life for them. But you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did. Amen? Our sin brings us under the wrath of Almighty God. But Jesus Christ sacrificed his life so that we might be set free. We know the death that Jesus died, crucifixion, the most horrible, horrific death a person could die in those days. And the Romans perfected crucifixion to make it torturous. And he died that death, certainly, but you know what? What he really did, which maybe some people don't quite comprehend, is that when he died that death, he took my place.
I was the one who should have been crucified. I was the one who should have suffered and died. But on the cross, he took my place. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of my sin is death. What I earn for my guilt and my sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus Christ took my death. The death that I deserve, and he endured, listen, the awesome wrath of Almighty God for my sin. And when Jesus was on that cross, he took my judgment. He took my place, and he took yours. And by that sacrifice for the sheep, he proves that he's the good shepherd. His character is proven by his sacrifice. And Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see his character? Secondly, we find that his character is proven by his concern for the sheep. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Jesus speaks of the bond here that exists between the shepherd and his sheep. They know him, they won't follow another, and the shepherd knows his sheep very intimately. You know, if you look at a flock of sheep all together, to the untrained eye, they all would look the same pretty much, wouldn't they? And they're all full of wool and so on. They pretty much would all look the same to an untrained eye. But a good shepherd can tell the sheep apart, often because of their defects and their peculiar traits. There was a man who was tending a large flock, and he explained this very principle to a Christian friend of his who expressed surprise at his familiarity with each individual animal. And the shepherd said, see that sheep over there? Notice how it toes in just a little. And you see the one behind it? It has a bit of a squint to its eyes. That next one over there, it has a patch of wool that's off its back. Ahead of that one, there's a distinguishing black mark. And while this one over here that's closest to us, it has a small piece torn out of its ear. Observing all of them, the believer thought about Christ, the chief shepherd, who also knows the individual weaknesses and the failings of his flock and watches over the members of his flock with a discerning love and a sympathetic understanding. With infinite concern and care, the chief shepherd notes the doubts, the fears, the trials, the conflicts, the defeats that disturb their peace. And he's there to care. Let me remind you this morning that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. He knows everything there is to know about you. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And here Jesus uses this illustration. All the hairs of your head are numbered. Every little detail about you, Jesus knows. He knows your victories. He knows your battles. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what you're going through. He knows the secrets. He knows all of those things. And because he knows all of those things, and because he has a purpose for you, and because he cares for you, he's going to do whatever is necessary to cause you to grow and to cause you to prosper spiritually. Now, that doesn't always mean roses. It doesn't always mean he's going to come and just
take away all of your burdens. No, that's not what that means. He's going to do whatever's necessary to cause you to grow, to cause you to flourish, because he cares and he loves for you. Sometimes that's not pleasant. But like we read this morning in our psalm, that the afflictions sometimes are the very things that teach us the way of God and cause us to grow. The problems that we make for ourselves because of our wicked heart, the Lord wants to deliver you from. But real deliverance is not taking away trouble. Real deliverance is delivering you from the heart that caused you to sin in the first place. He wants to refine and grow and mature his saints. And so sometimes there's a little affliction that's necessary. A wayward sheep sometimes needs the rod to correct him to bring him back into a place of safety. Sometimes the shepherd has to break the leg of the sheep to get him to stay close and follow behind for his own safety, for his own protection, because he loves the sheep. The Lord knows all those things about you, and he cares for you. He cares for your spiritual well-being and your growth. And so he's going to do whatever is necessary to cause you to grow. It's much better, though, for a sheep just to stay close on purpose. Stay close to the shepherd, where the place of safety is, where there's blessing, where there's richness, where there's provision. There's no question that Jesus is the good shepherd. The only question that remains is this: do you know the shepherd? Does he know you? How you answer that question determines where you're going to spend eternity, actually. But I'm thankful. Listen, I'm very thankful for the shepherd of my soul. I enjoy his tender care. I enjoy his guidance in my life. I rest secure in him, enjoying an abundant Christian life when I stay close to him. You know what? I have full assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ, through my shepherd. Do you? If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, let me ask you the question: are you really following the shepherd of your soul in obedience and love? If you've wandered away in some fashion, he's calling for you today to return to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Jesus is the good shepherd. I'm very thankful for that. Does he know you? Do you know him? Are you following his voice? Are you really obeying as he calls and as he leads? Heavenly Father, what a rich truth. There's maybe much more that we could consider and really spend time drawing out richness from this parable. And we've had a limited amount of time today. But the truth is very clear that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who loves, who cares for the sheep. The truth is also very clear that he knows his sheep and they know his voice. The sheep that doesn't respond or doesn't hear his voice, doesn't follow, is not one of his. Father, I pray for your will to be done in each heart today. I don't know the hearts of men, but if there are some who need the Lord today, need to enter into the safety of the sheepfold and need to come through Jesus Christ, may they be saved today. Father, if there are areas of our lives that we've not yielded to the Lord, we're not being obedient to the voice of the shepherd in, I pray that through your Holy Spirit you'd reveal that and each heart would be tender and responsive as you call today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.